Welcome to the Balanced Wellness Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Courtney Ciccoletti, your pharmacist turned functional medicine practitioner and integrative nutrition health coach. I'm on a mission to help others find alternative solutions to the chronic issues that far too often consume our lives. Balance is an individual journey that looks different for everyone. So on this show, I sit down with other leaders in the wellness space to discuss ways you can achieve it. We tackle topics like recovering from chronic illness, developing habits to improve mental health, and even how natural remedies like CBD can help aid in the healing process. It's time to find a solution to balance your wellness. Welcome back. Today I am here with Christy. She is a registered dietitian and busy working mom of three kids, ages 7 to 15. Without going crazy, Christy has found a way of developing easy and practical nutrient-dense recipes that kids and parents love. She started a recipe blog as a way to share her recipes and knowledge to help busy families understand what it means to feed their families well. Welcome, Christy. How are you today?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm so happy you are here today. So many great things to talk about. But first of all, how does a critical care dietitian turn into a food blogger?
That is a very good question. I think I would say usually they don't. I still actually do work in critical care, but I would say I did that exclusively for almost 17 years, I guess, before I started my food blog. And, you know, I feel like I get it. I was working mom, had a commute, busy schedule, and still found time or made time to cook and try to figure out ways to feed my family in the craziness, everything from daycare to now I have high school. My oldest is in high school sports, and we go through a lot of food. So over time, I guess in talking to other people, I was encouraged to start a food blog. It's as simple as that. And it was kind of funny because I have no tech background. Any of my colleagues would know I'm not the one who you want making an Excel document or anything like that. But I was like, you know, okay. And I do have a passion, I would say, for helping like the everyday family. And those are families who usually try to find information on nutrition, but they might not go seek out a dietitian. Maybe they don't have a diagnosis of something, but they just want to be educated more and feeding their families. And this came out on the sidelines, talking to families and just different things. Once I started telling people I was a dietitian, I have to say for probably the first 15 years, I really didn't talk about it too much because I didn't want people to think that I would judge them or had an opinion about anything, or if I ran into a restaurant, like I just didn't want to go there. And so it was about, I don't know, 4 years ago or so that I just decided, why not, and see where it goes. And that's how more dialogue happened.
I think that's awesome because so many people, you know, you feel like you don't want to inflict things on people that don't want the information or knowledge, but there's so many people out there that do. And there's so many people that don't really understand about, you know, even the word healthy, like we were talking about earlier, really understanding the labels and how to read labels. Even people that are smart and can know and understand, but really looking at a label and saying, oh, well, this must be healthy because it's low calorie or fat free. But, you know, how does that relate to you as a dietitian?
Yeah. So that's something else, even just seeing patients in the hospital going through different things. And whenever nutrition labels would come up or even with my friends, I actually have to say, I've even had a friend that says, I want to look in your cupboard. What do you have? And I'm thinking, go for it. And look, you know, look at my cupboard. And talking through things, I think people look at nutrition labels, probably pretty, it's pretty common. But then if I ask them, what do you look at? What information are you looking at? Maybe they'll have an answer. Not always. And other times, then I say, well, what do you do with that information? And I don't often get a response with that. And I think it's because people don't really know what to do with the information. Even the percentages on nutrition fact labels can be confusing. But there's a reason why they're on there. And the labels, marketing claims on products, there's a reason why they're on there. But unfortunately, companies and then the public take some of that and extrapolate it unnecessarily, meaning it's either good for everybody or a reason to spend money, even if you don't need to. So it's cost too, because we all have different budgets. And sometimes we find ourselves spending money and getting stressed out, thinking we're making a good choice when the economic stress of purchasing some products unnecessarily can actually do more damage than anything you'd probably even put in your body. Because stress, as you know, can wreak havoc in your body. So with all of this information that I've gathered between my clients and my friends and parents that I've met, and my observations, I take that to my blog and my website. And the tricky part with that is, so my recipes are sound. I make them. I am not a chef. I do want people to know that. I've never worked in a kitchen. I've been a hostess, but I've never worked in a kitchen. But so I've taken steps out that aren't necessary. I don't use a gram scale for measuring. Personally, I don't have time for that. I do realize there's a role in that with a lot of recipes, baking, but you will not see that on my site just because that's not what the way I navigate my cooking. Most of my recipes are relatively high in fiber compared to a comparable recipe, I would say, and or protein. In writing my posts, it's interesting because I need to write them in a way that people will find them, you know, that Google will say, here, look at this recipe. At the same time, my awareness has been heightened as far as that I was leading to some confusion, I think, with people, because at the beginning, when I didn't know what I was doing, I was using the word healthy because it's a term that people search for and it's a simple, easy word to include. But one, the word healthy can be a trigger word for disordered eating, and I do not want to contribute to that. So I'm working on removing the word healthy from my posts. It's just taking time. And the other thing is, like you mentioned earlier, that healthy means something different for a lot of people. So while I am a huge proponent of fiber and a big reason of that, not only is it good for your gut, but Americans in general do not meet their fiber needs. Nope. And I feel like there's this huge obsession with protein and everything. Americans in general do not have a hard time meeting their protein needs. Yet there's this obsession with protein, but they have a very hard time meeting their fiber needs. And yet you don't hear a whole lot about that until you get to the more aging population, but it's for everybody, including children.
Absolutely. I did a podcast on this before with somebody about fiber. So the stuff that's in actual products that are made, the dietary fiber comes nowhere close to what we actually need. So that's amazing.
Right. And you can get it through eating. You just need to be very intentional with it.
Yes.
But at the same time, I also have had clients who need a low fiber diet. And so then you don't want to have a lot of my recipes, and that's totally okay. Similar to gluten-free, you know, patients with celiac disease. I overheard a teenager the other day tell somebody, I'm not supposed to have gluten, but sometimes I do and I just deal with the stomach pain. And I don't know her. My guess is she probably has celiac disease. And that just really, it pains me for her. It made me sad because really she should never make an exception for that because it's doing damage in her intestines, as you know. So that's tricky because there are people who do need certain, you know, restrictions, but that is not everybody. But I think sometimes we're so busy. I get it. We're so busy. And then we go to the grocery store, we're doing online grocery shopping or whatever it is we're doing, how we're getting our food, that we're just quickly making decisions, often based on the product claims because it's quicker versus having to actually interpret the information on the label. And then, either we're spending money unnecessarily, which, especially with the rising food costs, that's one way to kind of put things in check, you know, or we're just adding to the confusion, I guess, even in our families, because most of my blogs, I say the recipes appeal to teens and tweens, but I'm not a short order cook. I like the food too. And I also realize, you know, the messages that the beliefs I have they're going to be related to my children. You know, if they see me weigh myself every day, they're going to know that weight matters to me. I don't have a scale in my house, and I can go on with different examples, but as I write blog posts, I am trying to be creative in a way to use words and word things in a way that people are searching for the terms, because at the same time, while I don't want to use any trigger words, I also would love for people to find my recipes, you know? And so if I'm not using words that people are searching for, then they won't find them. So as far as going back to your question about critical care dietitian turned food blogger, it's been a very long journey for me because of all of this that I'm explaining, and the learning curve behind not just recipe development, but the way to get the information out there.
No, absolutely. And I hear you with the word health. You know, I always use health and wellness when I'm talking about my business as, you know, as a functional medicine practitioner, as a pharmacist, as a integrative nutrition health coach. So when I'm using these terms, you know, they are kind of used loosely, and they're kind of, like you said, almost necessary for people to understand, because some people don't understand what I do. So it's always like, hey, we want you to be able to be the healthiest and, you know, the most well person that you can be, both physically, mentally. So kind of like using that term loosely, but I always look at the word health as like a bio-individual thing. So, you know, just what's healthy for one person isn't healthy for another person. You know, like you said, using trigger words, you know, I've worked with, you know, clients with eating disorders, and, you know, the last thing you want to do with somebody is tell them that they have to have some kind of restriction in their diet or something that triggers them to become an obsession. So, you know, it's, you know, there is a fine line. I understand what you're saying with that. And I think that that's so important, but like you said, you want people to find your recipes, and that's why we all need to share them on our pages and just, and look for you. Your blog, is your blog the same as your like Instagram title?
Yeah. My website is carrotsandcookies.com. And then my Instagram is carrots.and.cookies. And because I'm spending most of my time right now updating recipes, not the actual core recipe, but the way I'm, you know, the layout of it to make it user friendly with the tips and how-to instructions and photos and things like that. You're not going to see a whole lot of new recipes. Hopefully in January you will. but I'm working on updating just to make it user friendly. So social media is where you'll see a lot of my posts, especially my stories, just for sake of time. I find that the most convenient. So I post mostly there. And then when I fully update a recipe, my goal is to just repost it on my main Instagram page. I'm not as good about updating Facebook. I need to work on that. So primarily you'll find me active on Instagram.
That's awesome. And we will have all of your links in the show notes. So whatever platform that somebody's watching this or listening to this podcast on, whether it be Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, we'll have everything on there. So if people want to go and look for your recipes, they can go on there and either, you know, friend you or follow you on Instagram.
Great. Thanks. And if there are recipes that your listeners are looking to see more of, they can send me a DM too to suggest. It helps me to kind of figure out where to spend my time as I'm prioritizing, you know, recipes. The most recent request was snacks. I'm working on a holiday gift guide. A lot of people ask, what products do I use? And so I do put links in my website, in my posts, I should say, as far as products that I use, but I thought a gift guide is a good way to navigate that. So that'll be posted soon too.
Absolutely. And speaking of the holidays, let's talk about the holidays and preparing for the holidays, preparing nutritionally for the holidays. People sometimes become obsessed when the holidays are coming and I don't want to gain that weight, or New Year's resolutions and all of these things that, you know, people start to get, you know, like you said, scale happy about, and they are, you know, not fully enjoying themselves over the holidays because they're worrying about gaining weight. How is this something that you could advise people, you know, as a dietitian, like what do you recommend for people that have this mindset?
Yeah. So I'll try to be brief. I would say the first recommendation would be to not think about it in terms of weight. I think I mentioned it earlier, but I do not believe that weight equates health at all. I mean, maybe you could use it as a indicator to sit back and reflect on your, you know, what you're putting in your body, your movement, your stress levels, things like that. But generally speaking, absolutely, I do not believe weight equates for health. So that's one. And give yourself some grace too. You know, I think right now, as far as preparing for it, is really no different than any other time of year. As far as, I would say, stick to routine. If you don't have a routine, as far as movement goes, I'm trying to avoid the word exercise because there are so many different ways to move versus what people categorize as exercise. So find something that you enjoy. I do think strength training is important to include some, even if it's light weights. In addition to cardio, will help with stress management in addition to your overall health. There I go using the word health, but overall health I think is appropriate to use. So, you know, holidays, it's not just food. I think we think of food, but food is often a reflection of what we consume, is often a reflection of our stress levels and our activity levels, our sleep. I think in the holidays, we all get lack of sleep. We don't move as much and we're around food all the time. And we kind of lose the ability to kind of use logic. So I would say prioritize getting adequate sleep, try to fit in movement, even if it's less movement than usual, if you're busier, fit in movement, anticipate stress. If it's traveling, if it's having family in town, anticipate that and maybe have a plan on how to navigate that. a little bit more instead of going to food for stress management, you might end up actually feeling worse after the fact. And then when it actually comes to eating, enjoy your food. Enjoy your food and ask yourself, are you hungry? Are you full? Do you want more? And I should add, I should have mentioned this at the beginning, eat breakfast. I think it's easy to not eat breakfast because we don't always feel hungry when we first wake up. But if you eat breakfast after a good night's rest, I think oftentimes you'll find that you're a little more in tune to how much your body needs as far as eating, and you'll enjoy your food so much more instead of worrying about, should I eat this? Should I not eat that? I mean, eat your piece of pumpkin pie, enjoy your turkey and cranberry sauce if that's what you like. You know, I think wonderful memories are made around the holidays. So don't let it be about your weight.
I love that so much. So tell everybody what we are going to be doing in another week or so. So we are going to be making some delicious recipes. What are we going to be making? We're going to do a video for everybody. It will be on our YouTube. So what are we doing? What are we making? There are some delicious things, delicious and nutritious.
Yeah. So we're going to make whole wheat pumpkin bread. And then while that's baking, we are going to make pumpkin overnight oats and I think Tuscan kale salad, which is kale's in season now, but really it's available most of the year. But it's one of my favorites, a huge favorite of my readers, and it lasts in the fridge more than just a couple hours. So I think it's great. And actually, I'm all about, I don't even call it meal prepping, but I think when you do spend time, like say a quick bread you put in the oven, make use of that hour that it's in the oven. And so we'll talk more through that while we're baking. But as you can, we'll be able to tell, we can fit in more than just pumpkin bread in the hour. So we're going to make good use of our time. It'll be fun. So it'll be my second recipe demo. So I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm excited to do it as well. I'm excited to learn how to do it as well as taste the delicious things that we're going to be making. So
yeah. And the ingredients are pretty basic. And you know, if you have things in your kitchen, if you notice what we're going to make and you think, actually you can find the recipes on my website now. And if you have the ingredients or you can get them by the time, I don't know, within the next week or two, when this airs, make them with us. I think it'd be fun. Make them with us. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Well, Christy, thank you so much for being on today. So much great information for people to take with them. And I look forward to having you on again.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much for listening to the Balanced Wellness Solutions podcast. Please leave a 5-star review if anything in this show spoke to you, or share this show with a friend to spread the word and help others find the balance they may also be searching for. Make sure to follow along with me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Dr. Courtney with a K, Ciccoletti, or check out my website at www.wellness-solutions.co to find out how we can possibly work together. Be well.